And in the Sunday school, all just talking about Christmas and Advent and all that. Beginning today and running into the new year, we're going to be delving into the book of James. Now, the book of James is, this is a very important book for a whole lot of reasons. But if the Christian story is true, then you have to deal with it. When I was a skeptic for a better part of my life, I used objections and questions and criticisms to avoid having to deal with the whole Christian things. So no matter what a Christian said to me, it says, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And if unfortunately, or maybe that was God's plan, I never ran into Christians who could respond to those questions. So I used those critiques and questions and criticisms as a way of avoiding having to deal with it. And then things changed, of course, in my life, and here I am. You're stuck with me. But the thing about it is, here's the question you have to ask yourself. What if this story is true? What if this history, story, theology, what if it's true? What if there really is a God? What if there is really a God that you have to be accountable to? What if you have to make a choice this side of your mortal life? Because after this time in your mortal life, you don't get to make a choice. What if it's true? Because if it's true, you've got to deal with it. So the question is, of course, is it true? Well, there's a lot of ways you could find out if what somebody is doing is telling the truth. I watch a lot of law shows and court shows and police dramas and all that kind of thing. So I noticed that with the police, there, if you can get two parties that really hate each other, and one party tells you that the other person that I really don't like, they're innocent, that has great power. Why? Because they would be inclined to say bad things. But if they say good things, you kind of give that more weight. If you're a school teacher and you have kids that got into a fight and one person is well known to be a bully, and another kid's going to get blamed for something, and the kid you know is a bully says, well, he didn't really do it. That would make you step up and take notice, because he wouldn't likely be the kind of person to give the other person backup and support. So when you're looking at the stories that go on, it's very important that you look at who's telling the story. So that brings us to the book of James. Now James, as we're going to see, it's a small book, it's a short book. I think it's only 5 chapters. But there's some really good stuff in here. But why should we pay attention to James? Well, for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's the Word of God. But second of all, it's who James is. So let's just begin. We're only going to do a few verses today, and we'll dive in deeper as the weeks go on. If you have not joined them for the Bible study that's going to be taking place in the morning before, you might want to think that over, because they're diving deep into this book. And I think it would be to your benefit. But let's just begin with the beginning of the letter. And it says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, that's a wonderful, warm, and fuzzy kind of opening. So why should we pay attention? Well, first of all, James, it says James the servant of God. So while James didn't specifically identify himself as to which James he was, because there's a couple of different Jameses in Scripture, the author is widely thought to be James, the half-brother of Jesus. James was not a follower of Jesus during the Savior's time on earth. He writes to believers spread throughout the known Roman world. This is the dispersion. Another word for that is the diaspora. By the time James is writing this, the church is getting off the ground. It's when we talk about the world in Scripture, really they're talking about the Roman world. The new fledgling church had grown and popped up all over the world. And he's talking to Jewish Christians. Now, how do we know that? Well, to the 12 tribes. In Jewish literature, when you talk about the 12 tribes, basically you're talking about the nation of Israel. So he's talking to Jewish Christians. These are Jewish people who had accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that's who he's counting it to, and they're under persecution. And he makes this really interesting statement, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So this Jesus, he writes to these believers all over the world, and while the content of the book is full of instructions for Christian life, it's very much like the book of Proverbs. It's the identity of the author that's compelling. According to something called the principle of enemy attestation, you never have to remember that word again. But what it means is any source that doesn't have sympathy for a certain person, message or whatever, and comes to affirm that, it's more likely to be authentic. So if James is in fact the half-brother of Jesus, so what would we know about that? Well, we know that Jesus began his ministry. He was in his 30s, ministered for about 3 years, and we know virtually nothing about him before this point in time. So if Jesus had a brother, he spent 30 years growing up with this guy, right? And this would be his older brother. So his older brother is, I don't know if you've ever had the situation where your parent says to you or to one of your siblings, oh, why can't you be more like your brother or sister? Oh, it's if you're a parent, it's the worst thing you can ever say to a kid. Because both kids hate it. But can you imagine growing up being the brother of Jesus? Now, we don't know what he did for 30 years, but I have a feeling that he was probably a pretty good kid. So James grows up in the shadow of this kid, and we know from what we're going to read here in a moment that he wasn't buying this whole Messiah thing. What we learn from Scripture that James was certainly a skeptic, in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, it says, and when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying he's out of his mind.